This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hi, my name is Holly Hanna, and I'm the Intranet Manager at Perkins Coie. Thank you for joining us for this short 20-minute podcast on fostering a customer service ethos, where we will be discussing how you should think and interact with your clients, whether they're internal or external, sharing processes and examples of giving stellar customer service, and how to create muscle memory across the firm and the challenges encountered in doing so. Joining me are Ed Empomano, Director of Customer Experience, and Jessica King, Reference Services Manager, both from Perkins Coie. Jessica, tell me a little bit about your job and how you approach customer service with your team.
Hi, Holly. My job is to manage our team of library researchers. So that's the majority of the work that we do for the firm. We help the attorneys with some legal research, definitely with a lot of the other research that they didn't learn about in school. So that's where our real expertise shows. And we have a firm-wide team of 6 research librarians, and we answer questions generally via email.
And Ed, tell me a little bit about your job and your approach to customer service.
My role is internal facing from the customer service side of things. I manage our service groups around the technology service delivery areas that include service desk, training, audio, video, as well as some engineering components as well that service our internal folks within the firm, including staff, attorneys, and those that service them.
Great, thank you. And Ed, while I've got you, how do you interact with your clients, whether they're inside the firm or outside?
Sure. So I like to take the approach that everybody, while we're all internal servicing our external clients, I look at it like anybody we interact with internally is more or less like we are on the outside, either selling and or servicing our clients themselves. So as an extension of our attorneys that are actually servicing or working on matters for their clients, we're an extension of that. So I like to approach everything as we are all external clients, regardless of where we sit within the firm. We're all equals for our level of professionalism, regardless of the title, regardless of the position, and they're part of the organization. We should all be treated at the same level that we would want to be treated, but even more so, how we would want to be treated as a customer that is on the external of our firm. But we're all here to serve in the end. We're part of a professional services organization, and we need to reflect that.
And Jessica, I know that your team does a little bit of work with our external clients as well as internally with attorneys. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We do a little bit of contact with our external clients as well. The vast majority of it is definitely internal, same to what Ed just spoke to. But there have been times where, you know, attorneys just say, hey, you know what, this client needs this. Can you work directly? I would say generally the client is represented by an alumni of Perkins Coie, so they're used to us in those situations. But we're definitely looking to expand that outreach and work with outside clients more. And so with that in mind, we're then not even thinking of ourselves as representing just the library, but, you know, Perkins Coie as a whole, to provide that same service that our attorneys are committed to providing to the clients in order to keep them and expand upon that work. So it's something that we're working towards because customer service is such a fundamental component of what we do every day.
That's fantastic. And so can you tell me what's an example of stellar customer service that you or someone on your team has provided?
Sure. We do a lot of work in the library with business development, with marketing. That work has exponentially increased over the last, I would say, 6 months, maybe a little bit longer than that. And when it comes to that kind of work, there's a variety of information that's needed for either a pitch meeting, an RFP, a phone call, whatever it might be. And this is generally given within a short turnaround time frame from the like impossible to we're barely going to get there, everybody. One thing that we've done, we've developed a company profile that we can use for a lot of these requests. So it streamlines the research and the kind of information that typically our attorneys want for this business development work. And it puts it in a really readable manner. This way, even if the attorney doesn't get the full in-depth research or the benefit of a lot of time, they're still able to meet these tight deadlines they have to respond to those kinds of pitch requests.
That's awesome. And Ed, what about you? Some examples of stellar customer service that you or somebody on your team has provided?
Sure. I've got the fortunate ability to manage our teams that really focus on the conference center as well. And those are very front facing, as everybody likes to have meetings in our marquee rooms and whatnot. So those that are there, we often interact with our clients on that end. And even without focusing on a single one, I think what the common denominator is on all of them is really focusing on those that shine because they met the needs of those unexpressed service needs that the clients as well as our own individuals have. And I think that's just, while there isn't a week that goes by that I don't get some sort of accolade from about somebody because we have such a nice culture here, I think where we get exemplified are those areas where those service folks, especially on those conference centers, think about the plan A, B, and C. And so they may walk into an example or scenario where somebody may want something set up in a room or they have a presentation to give and they thought it was going to go a certain way. But based on the conversation and based on how everything is going, those people are able to quickly be very fluid and adjust, and they can provide something that they may not have thought of to the client, where they those unexpressed service needs, where maybe they needed something that they didn't, handing them an extra microphone, giving them something to the side, giving them a separate bit of technology that might be able to make their presentation a little more fluid, a little more professional and presentable. So those things happen all the time, but I think that exemplifies a level of service that goes beyond just what people ask for. They may ask for something basic, but it's those in between the gray lines that I believe give us that extra value when we service anybody, both internally and externally, our clients or internal. So I think that's at least a very positive experience in general, and then allows everybody to pay it forward.
That's great. Now, let me ask you kind of the flip side of that, which is sometimes customer service fails, right? Sometimes it's not, you don't perform the service that you would hope to have performed, or something goes wrong. So how do you turn that around and make it so that it's a better experience for the customer in the end?
Oh, it happens far more than we know, but it is, unfortunately, it's the nature of the business. I like to say many a times that primary function of my role, at least our extended role, is also to deal with problems all day, being on the technology service side of things. When things break, we have to fix them. Or things don't work, we have to fix them. So what I do find is it does happen a fair amount, but one resonates with me significantly, where we, as part of our service, we generally provide some sort of life cycle of computers and whatnot for our attorneys. Everybody likes the shiny new toy that can make things work faster for them. And we had a fair miss on one of our partner sides, where what we thought we can deliver a canned service, which worked for a majority of the firm. We had somebody that was not so canned in the way they operated and the way that they had things configured. And so we had a pretty significant miss. It caused us to have to double back, have to fix a lot of things that we weren't prepared to fix before. And then it actually created some bit of a stir. But what I think is important is how you get up, how you rise from a failure, and what you learn from it. And for us, what we learned from it was that we probably needed to develop something, like Jessica was talking about, these personas. We are on the cusp of developing what we were calling attorney personas on internally, where we are building profiles based off of, first we're starting with our attorneys, their little likes, dislikes, configurations, and whatnot. So every service interaction we have something that allows us to jumpstart on how somebody may like to interact, as opposed to just treating everybody exactly equal. Because in a partnership, as well as in an attorney with a law firm, there's going to be different ways that people like to do things. So that's something that we've just started on the last several months, but I think it's going to help us pay dividends in the future when we have a custom profile for almost every attorney and partner as we continue this journey.
And Jessica, is there anything from your side similar to what Ed was just talking about, where a customer service fail resulted in work that has led to overall improved service?
Yeah, definitely it happens on our side too. I do feel like I have to say, you know, I've worked in different firms. There is something about the Perkins Coie culture where I wish I heard about the failures a little bit more often. You know, I've tried to seek them out, but on the whole, our customer base is pretty supportive and thinks telling us like thumbs up is great. But failure is really where you can develop those solutions that you never would have had, like what Ed's talking about, if there hadn't been something that went pretty wrong. This is my little soapbox moment, I guess, but there's one thing that happens in my field a lot, that of librarianship or research services, whatever you want to call it. But that it's what we call the data dump. So this is where in the common example, an attorney would ask for some type of research, and the response is essentially to attach way too many things to an email and basically say, like, see attached, or per, like, per your request, here's attached information, right? Without any kind of distillation of the information or recommendations or anything like that. And it then puts all the burden of the work back on the customer, back on the attorney. And maybe it is valuable. I tell my team that it's not at all, but it's definitely less valuable than providing research in a succinct, developed way so that the key information is there for the attorney when they need it. So we've done trainings as a group, and what really transformed out of this, because the majority of our day is transactional and it is via email, which can be kind of sad, but I do think email can also be magical if you do it right. You know, we redefined our responsibilities. So the stress of on our team in our meetings and trainings, which we did a lot of internal training, was to stress good email communication skills. And obviously you want to communicate well in any situation, but email is what we do every day. And part of that meant understanding, like, how attorneys work, what they're doing, and reiterate the point that sending a bunch of stuff and thinking that you did a lot of research doesn't work, right? Like, you're basically telling them to go away, whether you're doing that subtly or not. You know, we weren't trying to do that, but that's what it looks like. So by going through the internal training that we put all the librarians through, we've hired new librarians since then, and they go through this training as well. So we really stress that it's very important to do the research, but distill it into something actionable. Even with simple questions like one of our librarians took on a request that I like to point out, which is really simple. It's one we get every day. Can I get these court documents? And, you know, she let him know, I searched here, here, and here. And she could have attached like a docket and everything else that she could have found and made it way more convoluted than it needed to be. But she started simply the email saying, like, hi, attorney's name, you're not going to be able to get this document without us hiring a runner service. And so it immediately let him know, like, what he needs to do and let him make that decision quickly instead of trying to shuffle through what we did, trace back our steps, essentially. So that's one area where I think we have really been able to turn things around and, more importantly, save our attorneys time when it comes to making decisions.
That's fabulous. And going kind of like following up on that question, what are you doing to lead by example for others in your organization? And how do you maintain that muscle memory so that that stellar customer service that you were just talking about is something that people do without even thinking about it?
Yeah, leading by example, I think, is like technically maybe what my whole job is. And one of the things that I do is I make sure that I still do some of the research too, right? That's partly a function of just our team. We're a small but nimble team. And so being in the weeds with the rest of them helps set that example that, like, I get it, everybody. I'm juggling a lot of things too, but this, the customer service, like these requests that we're getting, that's always the priority, and doing that work well. Our director in our department does that too. So it's very, you know, our librarians see that from the top down, that this is a priority to all of us. So not just to the ones who are hired to do the research day in and day out. Speaking of training that we did, another thing that I did earlier in the year was kind of a altered, shorter presentation on our email customer service skills to our entire technology department, which was a really great opportunity. And I think that presentation was pretty well received based on feedback that I got. But what I also explained to my team is it sets us on a pedestal, if you will, right? Like, I'm doing this training to the whole department, but by doing that training, I'm saying we've got it down. This is what we do all day, every day. So I think those are a couple ways that we try and do that. And also when we collaborate with other departments, so we work with some of Ed's team, you know, on different things, because our customers, you know, don't always know maybe who to send a question to. So you can get something that you know, we've gotten things about like the DMS or like file transfer or all kinds of different types of questions we get. And so when we collaborate with the other groups, we treat them like they're our customers too. You know, service desk, they're our customer, or the marketing team, they're our customer too, that helps with these pitches. And we feel like that's a really great way to reinforce the good customer service skills too. You know, remembering that someone doesn't need to have partner or associate in their signature block to be a customer.
That's great. And Ed, similar question to you, and I know that we are running short on time, so quick sort of summation of how you lead by example and how you help foster that muscle memory so that stellar customer service is just something that your team does.
What Jessica said. No, in all seriousness, Jessica and her team are actually really a great gold standard to live by. You know, I had the pleasure of seeing her present on their service side examples that Jessica was just talking about. But I think she hit it right on the head. I think I try to do the same thing. It's pretty easy to sit in meetings all day and stay away from the day-to-day and of how things really work. And sit in meetings. And that's not what we're about. I think we have to be in tune with that. So regardless of position and title, whatnot, I do as Jessica tries to do and try to get in there and lead by example to actually do where I can or where they'll let me so I don't break anything. But it's important to do that. I come from a military background and I want to make sure that I am there with the troops wherever I can. And so I think that resonates a lot just from an individual perspective. But to your point about how to make this muscle memory, it takes repetition. Right, much like anything else you train on, it takes repetition and doing it over and over and refining that to be able to become muscle memory. Thankfully, we're in an organization that supports and promotes that. Everything from formal programs internally to external consultants that they bring in on an ongoing basis to make sure that we live that value of a service-driven organization. So I think that's constant repetition and living it every day in our own lives and work. Certainly do bring that to the forefront.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. I thank you both for joining us and for talking about how you drive customer service ethos both within your organizations and within Perkins Coie as a whole. I hope that our listeners have learned a lot about how to foster customer service ethos within their organization. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.